Action.
Oh, excellent.
You're ready to go.
Hi, I'm Russ.
And I'm Sean.
And we're two dads who love watching
and talking about
movies. On this podcast, we're chatting about the 1988 film Bloodsport.
Hoo-yah!
We have been watching movies together since we were 10 years old in Sean's basement.
That's my basement.
And 34 years later, we're back in the basement.
Russ's basement.
In this podcast, we're going to mispronounce words,
forget people's names,
and most importantly, have fun. This is just another...
This is a review podcast.
This is just another review podcast.
I like this and you like that. It's just another review podcast. We pick a show, sit down and chat. Now listen to the start of our show because it's now.
It is now.
And speaking of now, here's the podcast.
Mm.
I've never seen this movie until now.
This was your first Bloodsport experience?
This is my first Bloodsport experience. I really feel like JARP is giving me the whole Jean-Claude Van Damme experience because we've done two Jean-Claude Van Damme movies.
On top of this or including this?
Well, including this because okay. We did, what did we do? What was it? Hard Target? Hard Target. We did Hard Target. No, we did Sudden Death.
Sudden Death, that's right, what it was, with Powers Booth and the glorious helicopter crash at the end, right?
Yeah.
That was your most memorable part.
I think that was your most memorable part. I think my most memorable part
was what I remember.
Fighting with hockey gear on.
Oh, okay.
But
he had to play goalie for the last period, didn't he?
Right.
Yeah.
I don't think...
And he used his spin kicks to save pucks.
Sudden Death holds a candle to this Bloodsport movie, though.
Absolutely not. In no way. I don't think many movies hold a candle to this one.
Sudden Death, kind of forgettable. Bloodsport, I guess we'll find out and talk about it. This movie came out in 1988.
Man, we were only 10 years old at that time.
What were we? So,
You were probably 10. I was probably 9.
Right.
Again,
I'm an older boy.
You're in the beginning of the year. I'm in the latter half of the year. So, if this was a summer movie, we'd be split. Right.
And that proves itself developmentally.
Like, you can go in 9 years old. You have to wait for VHS release.
This was at Blockbuster? Is this a conversation you're having at Rogers Video?
Well, I'm just saying, you were 10, I was 9, and they probably only let you in the theater and told me to go home.
Right. You with the mustache.
You.
The slightly balding 10-year-old.
Yeah.
Come on in. You go back home.
Mm.
You go watch. So here are the movies we were probably watching instead. Willow.
Mm. Big. Definitely watching Willow.
Big.
Big. Tom Hanks. Yeah. With your boy, Tommy Boy.
With my boy.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen that movie where he's on an island? Rain Man.
Oh.
Right?
Counting Cards.
Definitely Walmart. Kmart. I don't think Walmart was as popular back then. Die Hard came out this year, but I don't think I was really watching Die Hard at that point in my life.
Mm. A friend of the podcast, Rod, I believe.
Rod.
Just finished watching Rain Man and came and talked to me how uncomfortable it made him feel. Going back to some scenes, I guess there's one scene where the girl kind of forces herself on Dustin Hoffman a little bit, and he says it was pretty cringy.
Yeah, doesn't hold up.
Doesn't hold up, not in a 2023 lens, not for sure. Yeah, I don't think you force yourself on mentally disabled people in these days.
Jesus.
Russ, get off me.
We also probably were watching The Naked Gun. You remember that movie?
You look at me like I'm like, am I supposed to have a sound effect for this or something?
The Naked Gun.
The Naked Gun. Like
Leslie Nielsen.
I got nothing for you, man.
How about Heathers? Do you have a sound effect for Heathers?
No.
The Christian Slater, Shannon Doherty. Who else was in that movie?
Winona Ryder. Yeah. That was a good one. Cult classic. Let me guess, you've never seen Heathers either, have you?
Of course, no. These are movies that I'm
not. Oh, right. That I'm you said that we were seen, we because were you weren't watching. I saw Bloodsport. How did you miss it?
I don't think I was.
And I loved it.
It maybe scared me. I was like, oh, I want to watch people beat each other up.
I don't want to see.
I want to see.
Sweaty men.
I want to see girls killing other girls. I want to see Heathers. Because isn't that what Heathers is all about?
Yeah, they kind of kill off all spoilers of their shitty Heathers. Friends. Yeah. Oh, there's the swear jar. Oh. There we go. There it is.
Oh, wow. You've got two machines.
I do. One's a little
sound effect.
Yeah. One's kind of backup. And the first one was a little too quiet.
So Heathers, Bloodsport. What are we talking about?
Mm.
A lot of similarities maybe between the two movies.
What are we talking about? Bloodsport. Let's get back to it.
Okay. It's directed by Newt Arnold.
Another Newt.
What was the first Newt?
In Aliens. Newt.
The little girl?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So we're on to another Newt. This one's a director.
Newt really doesn't make it that far in the Alien franchise, unfortunately.
Mm-mm.
Because I saw Alien 3.
I went and saw it too.
And you saw
the rest of them.
And three, and the rest of them.
And Prometheus and Covenant, except Resurrection. I skipped. I didn't want to waste my
time
on that.
Which is the Winona Ryder one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where they clone Ripley. Yeah. Yeah, we talked about it. The least one. The first one you saw.
Yeah, the first one. Probably.
And the worst one. Yeah.
And the worst one.
Yeah.
And how did Prometheus and... I don't think I saw the one after Prometheus.
Alien Covenant. Yeah. I quite liked it. I made a statement on our movie channel, said I went and watched them all, and that Prometheus was my favorite, and I got ostracized like really quick. They kicked me out of the movie group.
Does that work?
Yeah.
They kicked you out of the
movie group? They did. They're like, get out. It's either Alien 1 or 2. It cannot be a newer one. No, I'm just kidding. It
can definitely be
Prometheus. No, they were... They listened to my opinion. Did they agree with it? No. I do not think so. Not many people do.
Yeah,
that's not true. Many people do.
That's true. Neither do us. Unfortunately,
that's
people
what makes
listening
this
to this
podcast exciting. Right?
Have to listen to your opinion,
right?
They don't have a choice.
What would be the fun if we just agreed on everything, right?
So Newt, as in the director of Bloodsport, has been a first assistant director for some pretty crazy movies.
First ass director.
Yeah, assistant.
Took me a minute to figure out what that meant.
I can't write the full word assistant.
First ass it's just like director.
It's a pediment of mine, so I have like, the right ass. First ass director, Godfather Part 2. Hmm. He was in the...
First
ass director for The Jerk. First ass director for Blade Runner.
Something interesting here. I see he directed Bloodsport in 88, and then in 89, he went back to a first ass director role on The Abyss there.
Right.
So... I wouldn't say a step backwards, but definitely a different role.
I mean, he's working with some amazing directors.
I guess, yeah. It's like, do you want to keep directing Jean-Claude Van Damme, or do you want to go
work with
James Cameron? Yeah. It's like,
yeah.
I think I'll go Shadow James.
And the fact that he was being hired for all these major films maybe speaks to his, like,
ass directing.
His ass directing.
He's a good ass director.
And I don't know, maybe after watching Bloodsport, he's a good director.
Is he? I don't know.
You know, he made a movie.
I think it might have stifled his directing career a little bit.
He made a movie. Well, that shouldn't have been the case.
He should have taken a royalty.
He made a movie called Bloodthirst in 1971.
Not Bloodthirsty?
Not Bloodthirsty, which called Bloodthirsty.
I don't want to watch it then.
This movie was written by Sheldon Lettich.
Mm, great.
Who also did Rambo 3.
Oh, award-winning.
Which also came in 1988.
Great.
And he also did some...
He clearly put his efforts into Rambo 3.
Yeah. double impact. Christopher Cosby, no other credits, and Mel Friedman.
Great.
It
took three individuals to write this movie.
Right.
Not wrong.
ChatGP.
Wrong.
I don't know. Pretty brilliant movie.
Who's in this movie?
Jean-Claude Van Damme.
The Damage. Can we just say
I don't know. I don't think you can.
I can't.
Can we just say Jay-Z?
Can we just say Jay-Z?
Jay-Z. I think someone else has got that name.
Ah.
The Muscles from Brussels. He plays Frank Dukes.
Like, put up your dukes.
So this is kind of the start of good old Jean-Claude Van Damme's career here.
Yeah, I would say so.
Like, it's nothing but uphill from here. And uphill? Nothing from Blue Sky.
I think he was a bad guy in like No Retreat, No Surrender before this. He played a bad guy.
Ooh.
Like a Russian bad kickboxer guy. No Retreat, No Surrender.
Donald Gibb is in here playing Jackson.
Oh, nerds.
Revenge of the Nerds. Yeah. That's Ogre.
Yeah, he was Ogre in Revenge of the Nerds.
I doubt that movie holds up at all.
We should?
No, I'm not going
to
bother.
You don't want to?
No, I'm just making the call right now that all Revenge of the Nerds does not hold
up. Tell you what, I'll just go on my own and I'll go rogue.
You know who?
I'll watch Revenge of the Nerds.
Donald Gibb reminds me of Sweetums from the Muppets. You know Sweetums?
Which one's Sweetums?
Sweetums is like the full Muppet, like full, like a big bird. How it's like there's a person walking.
You're kind of like, ooh.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's shaggy. That's who Donald Gibb reminds me of. Sweetums.
I like that you know his name.
Well,
hey.
I'm a fan. I'm a big Muppet fan. Oh, I was going to point to my Legos, but
What did you point to?
I assessed my Sesame Street Lego set.
Oh.
Same, you know.
He pointed to something.
Same Jim Henson's.
Look at this.
Leia. Princess Leia Ares.
She plays Janice.
Norman Burton plays Helmer, which is one of the American...
right. The older white Caucasian...
playing opposite.
Army guy?
Yeah.
Whatever? What's his
name? They're agents. They're
agents.
Like,
Army agents.
Government agents.
There you go.
Opposite a gentleman named Forrest Whitaker.
Oh, man, this movie's got to be awesome. It's got Forrest Whitaker in it. He's an Academy Award winner.
Yeah. You know, Forrest Whitaker, Last King of Scotland, Andor, Black Panther, Rogue One, you know.
Do you know some of his more earlier roles?
No.
Do you remember his role at Fast Times at Ridgemont High?
No.
Yeah.
I know Sean Penn's in that.
Yeah.
That's all I know.
He was like the older football star, and they stole his car.
Oh.
I believe, and crashed his car.
And this has been Forrest Whitaker's.
And Sean's completely wrong. Recap. It was O.J. Simpson.
Jesus. Roy.
Does Jesus get a coin? Does Jesus get coins?
Saying the word Jesus is not a swear word.
I know, but you didn't say it like Jesus Christ. You said it like, oh, Jesus. So do we have to add a coin?
Hey, it's up to you.
Do we pay?
You're in charge of
the machine. Do we pay the Jesus?
I always pay.
Russ is getting uncomfortable again.
I don't care about Jesus.
Like, please, Sean, don't go down this road. Moving on.
Roy Chiao.
He
plays Tanaka.
Mr. Tanaka. Shidoshi.
Shidoshi, which means, I thought Shidoshi was his first name, but I think it's more of like a,
means like
a title.
It's like a master. Dojo master, like sensei, right?
Yeah,
like Shidoshi.
Like a wise one.
Can Shidoshi.
You stop using that
accent? I just like, it just rolls off the tongue really good.
Right, like JCVD. I got the JCVD, doc.
Oh, no, take two shots of this and see me in the morning.
It itches.
I've got the itches from Brussels.
Both Roy and
Bolo Young, yeah,
who plays Chong Li, are from Enter the Dragon with Bruce Lee.
Nice. No, I take it that's a movie you haven't seen either.
I haven't seen that.
But that's a good one.
I assume Enter the Dragon would inspire movies such as Bloodsport.
Yeah, exactly. I almost gave this when I was going through my JARP meter, and one of the categories is original story. I was like, oh, it is. And then I took a step back. I was like, no, it's not quite that original. Enter the Dragon did an international tournament style movie.
Right.
Are you being summoned? What are you looking at?
I'm looking at you.
I don't know. You're looking like you're
side.
Like,
I'm looking at your
he keeps
cafe
looking to the side like someone's going to walk through the door. And I'm supposed surprise. To look at. Look at this, Sean. And there's nothing there. I don't know. Maybe there is something there. Everybody, what is there? I'm confused.
Bolo Young is also going to be in the movie
Biggest Chest in the World.
Double Impact.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, King that's Pink the name Coral. Of his chest is Double Impact.
Boom, boom.
Bang, bang.
This movie cost $2 million to make, and it made $50 million worldwide.
And how much did they give that to Bolo Young's pectoral muscles?
Like, just inserting the money directly.
Like, I feel like they're like... Pecs. Took Botox and they like injected his muscles because they're like unreal.
I think he just works out.
Dude, you think?
I think he just works out.
He's like the biggest Asian imaginable.
Why? Don't you
he's say, huge.
Okay, sure.
Again, Russ is uncomfortable. I don't know why big Asian and Russ also gets all sweaty. And I think sweaty. He's, I don't know. I think he's starting to remember something.
Gosh. Are you going to play the trailer?
Yeah, hey, I found the trailer.
This is Sean's new segment.
Sure. If you got 2 minutes, let's check out what they had to say about
Hello,
Bloodsport.
Listener. Do you have 2 minutes of your... Can I take 2 minutes of your time?
Quiet.
Sorry. Please enjoy. Responsibly.
For centuries, the Society of the Black Dragon has sanctioned an ancient rite of combat known as the Kumite. Open only to the world's most lethal warriors. It has never been won by a Westerner.
You are not Japanese.
I can do it.
Now, for the first time, the true story of America's super agent, Frank Dukes, can be revealed.
Uncle Sam can't afford to let you get hurt.
I'm going to Hong Kong.
Frank is going to fight in the Kumite, and we're here to stop him.
An awesome human weapon.
There is me just looking at it.
Who infiltrates the Chinese underworld.
Okay, you day.
I did not come this far to stop now.
Take him.
To enter a forbidden competition.
Couldn't you just get me in?
Strict rules, no press.
You're telling me you never break rules?
Where every fighting style, every worthy opponent, every deadly technique, clash in savage combat.
Time to separate the men from the boys.
And only one will triumph.
Now I will break you.
International martial arts sensation Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Oh yeah.
And Bloodsport.
Oh.
The true story of the ultimate champion.
The not so true story.
The not so true story of Frank Dukes.
Yeah.
Should we talk about that now?
Sure, yeah, let's go. Like, Frank...
So they said he, like, came up with some sort of ninjutsu thing.
His own style?
Yeah, after this. So I, like, did some Google researching, and, oh, cool, cool. He became a ninja after this. And I guess the deeper I went down the hole, there's only one person that has ever told this Kumite story about Frank winning and all that. And do you know who that person is?
Frank?
Frank.
He had someone back him up, but I think like it was a buddy of his who backed him up, and then
it was
like,
just not legit.
A few years later, the buddy's like, no, that's not true.
Yeah. Supposedly they've never heard of Frank Dukes. He was never a secret army agent. He was like,
yeah,
I don't know.
He was part of like, what do you call it? Like, it's just like the reserves or something like that.
Yeah. They mop the deck in the Navy.
Yeah,
basically. And, who knows if his story is real or not? Maybe it's real.
True.
Maybe it's real for Frank.
Oh, I see.
Hey, you know what I mean?
No shame, Frank.
Maybe Frank actually experienced this.
In his mind's eye.
Yeah, with some peyote in a Thailand bar somewhere. And yeah, who knows?
Should we get into this?
Let's get into it.
We begin the film cutting between prepping the Kumite in Hong Kong and fighters across the globe prepping for the 3-day martial arts tournament. One of these fighters is an American and U.S. Army captain, Frank D.
Like, put up your dukes, right?
Frank's colonel gets wind of his plans to fight in the Kumite and tries to stop him.
And like that, he's gone.
The Army has invested a lot of money and time into Frank.
They have.
So they assign two...
very, very capable
criminal investigation command agents to track Frank down and bring him back to the USA.
Yeah.
Frank visits his chosen parents, Mr. and Mrs. Tanaka.
But son, your place is in the vineyard in Brussels.
Say goodbye. It takes a trip down memory lane.
Close up on Frank's face. Okay, cut. That's good. I like that. Yeah.
He recalls meeting Senso Tanaka, being introduced to martial science, and helping Tanaka train his son, Shingo. When Shingo dies fighting in the Kumite, Frank convinces Tanaka to train him so he can honor his Shidoshu.
Teacher of the way.
It's time, man. It's time for our first...
but not last.
Montage.
Training montage.
And Frank does the splits, catches goldfish with his hands, and serves tea blindfolded.
Hee-yah!
Frank completes his training and is given Tanaka's sword, but in the present day, a dying Tanaka...
but not sleeping with his eyes open.
...gifts Frank with his spirit.
He's gonna need it.
Here, you can take my spirit, Frank. Take it to the Kumite.
Take his spirit.
And just relax. And take a deep breath.
Relax while we go back in time and train with Frank Dukes. Shidoshi! Oh.
If you're offended by any of Sean's accents today...
I was going to put a little disclaimer on there that there's going to be a little Asian influence in my accents just because...
because you can't help it.
I can't.
You're younger
because I'm a horrible person. And because I'm just mimicking the people in this movie.
And do you think you have a right to mimic people in the movie?
I'm not making fun of them. I'm impersonating them.
Okay.
Does that make it okay, Russ?
No,
Russ is still very uncomfortable.
That's fine.
I have no idea what to do. I don't know how to handle Russ's uncomfortableness here.
I think you just be you.
I think I should just push it to the limit.
And people in the world
can decide. Take it to the limit. Sean's so racist.
Is that one of the songs in this movie? Lots of great songs in this movie.
Could be.
How good... does Jean-Claude Van Damme look in this movie? Has anyone ever looked as good as Jean-Claude
Van Damme? As oily, as hairless,
he looks like a Ken doll.
He does look like a Ken doll.
Like, if they were going to ever make a Barbie movie, they should cast him as Ken.
They should have. Maybe they did test him, and, you know.
They're like, oh.
And he's like, oh, sorry, you've got the JCVD. You can't. You're under quarantine with the JCVD.
This movie inspired Sean's racism and movies like Mortal Kombat or video games like Mortal Kombat, and even might have inspired the mixed martial arts known as the UFC.
I think for sure this was a catalyst for such video games as Street Fighter, Mortal Kombat, and all that. So it's cool. Like, they even got the nut punch from this movie into Mortal Kombat 1. It's a, like a special move you can pull off as Johnny Cage. Well, yeah.
Johnny Cage, I think, is Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Oh,
is.
What?
Johnny Cage no. is Jean-Claude Van Damme. So how did Jean-Claude Van Damme start his career, you ask? Well, he was a sparring partner of Chuck Norris. So he got in through the white guy martial arts route. He was a bouncer at I think Mr. Norris's clubs called the Woody's Wharf.
Woody's Wharf? Does Chuck Norris even need a bouncer at a club? I thought he could just look at people and they'd run away.
I think Chuck Norris just can't do it all. Like, he's already like cutting meat with his
genitals.
With his genitals. So he's in the back, he's in the front. I don't think he can do everything.
Would you eat cut meat from with Chuck Norris's genitals?
Genitals?
Just to say, hey,
I've tried.
I tried these spare Norris's ribs.
Meatballs.
They were fabulous. And believe it or not, they were prepared by Chuck Norris's testicles.
I would try that.
I totally would.
I would try it once. Yeah.
Yeah. Just to say that I did.
Of course, I liked it, and then I would try it again.
And then you'd go back for more, right?
I can't get enough of these
salty
Chuck balls.
Mm.
I guess Jean-Claude Van Damme was probably a very confident individual. He saw a producer, I can't tell if he saw him walking on the road or at a restaurant, and he went up and started like showing off all his like.
Hey, watch me.
Watch me. I can backflip. I can
spin kick.
I can do
roundhouse you
stuff.
In the face.
I can do. I don't know if you know this, but Jean-Claude Van Damme can do the splits.
No.
Yes. And so he probably
no man can do the splits.
Just hurts me looking at it. So he convinced his producer to kind of like take him seriously. And then I guess at that time he was still on the call sheet of a little movie called
Predator.
And so
but he didn't last very long on that,
no,
as we know.
Because right.
He wanted a spin kick.
Yeah, he wanted. Hey, get me out of this costume.
Do you think maybe he purposely got fired from Predator so that he could do Bloodsport?
I mean, the inner workings of Hollywood is a mistake.
I wonder what
thing.
Google says about that.
Hello, Google.
You know? Right off the bat, this movie's pretty cool and speaks to my martial arts enthusiast 10-year-old self with the guy smashing through the blocks of vice and the other guy crawls up a tree and starts hacking coconuts down with his bare hands.
Oh, then you're talking about the montage.
I'm talking about Bloodsport, the movie. The first 5 minutes of it.
Okay, roger.
Wait, we're talking about Bloodsport.
Okay, yeah. Bloodsport, yeah.
And just mean like... So cool, right off the bat.
Yes.
Main title's coming up. You're like,
racist, but cool.
How is it racist?
Dude, they're featuring one African-American actor who's jumping around like a monkey.
That's right. How do you know that's just not his drunken ninja style, right?
I'm just saying, the movie's...
Okay.
If there's anything bad about this movie, it's a little bit racist.
It's a little on-the-nose racist, eh?
Yeah, I understand. Like, there's, like, just cool fighters. Just cool, like, things are happening.
Actually, there is a lot of racism in this movie. It's sort of backhanded, too, you know? The little kid, when he's training with him, he's like, hey...
Why don't you quit, Round Eye?
What's that all about?
Well,
some little backhanded Asian comment telling him to Round Eye, better give up? Imagine if Jean-Claude every Round Eye gave up.
Sorry, what? Imagine if Jean-Claude every Round Guy gave
Imagine
up.
If every Round Eye gave up every time an Asian person told him to quit training martial arts. There'd be no Chuck Norris. There'd be no Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Oh, what's the Steven? Oh,
there'd
Steven
be no
Seagal.
Dennis Rodman
there'd
in
be
Double
no
Impact.
Dennis Rodman. Let me think about that.
So, you know, next time...
Why don't you quit, Round Eye?
Maybe you should think about it and not give up. I think that's a good story for this.
To not give up?
A good theme of this movie is don't give up,
don't
right?
Don't give up.
Yeah, especially when you get smelling salts thrown in your face.
I'm going to keep going here.
Keep going.
In Hong Kong, Frank befriends another Westerner.
Wait, are we going on?
I just said I'm going to get going and you said
Oh, but how do you know I didn't want to talk about something?
Well, you can talk about it later.
Okay.
Keep moving forward.
Okay, you're right.
Jackson. And the two play video games.
Wait, you better just start all over again.
In Hong Kong, Frank befriends another Westerner, Jackson, and the two play video games in the East Lake Hotel in Kowloon.
A game called Kung Fu Champ.
We also meet Janice, an American reporter, pressing the hotel guest to give her information on the Kumite. Their guide and handler, Victor Lin, take them to the walled city.
But it's within the city.
Operated by the Triad Mafia.
Okay, USA.
Inside the secure location, Frank and Jackson.
Or Frankson, if you put them together.
Present their invitation to the Black Dragon Boys. Frank needs some additional persuasion, so he demonstrates the death touch.
What did that brick ever do to you?
Meanwhile, Helmer and Rollins, the two super competent government agents, enlist the help of local law enforcement Inspector Chan. Back at the hotel, some real sexist chauvinistic shit introduces Frank to Janice, and it's love at first sight. Janice presses Frank for information on the Kumite, but he agrees to share only if she goes out with him.
Oh, naughty, naughty.
The next morning, Frank does the splits and the tournament starts.
This year's Kumite is co-sponsored by the International Fighting Arts Association. The Fighting Arts Association. Why just fight at home when you can fight internationally?
Jackson beaks off at the current champ, pectoral king, Chong Lee. Fighting montage, fighting montage, fighting montage.
I fight to survive!
Later that day, Helmer and Rollins track Dukes to the hotel. Jackson plays interference, and the agents comically chase Dukes around Hong Kong.
Oh, that's not the right one. This is it.
I just could listen
steal
to that song.
The night.
Frank and Janice go on a stellar date, head back to the hotel, and guess who's getting out of bed naked in the morning?
Doink!
It's Frank! Slapping on some panties. If
slapping on some panties.
Yeah.
Eh?
Yeah, well, that's what he did.
His wardrobe is unbelievable in this movie.
Gosh, amazing. The
spaghetti strap tank tops, banana yellow sports coats.
He wears a great black
and panties.
Jacket in
he
the
wears
beginning.
Panties.
Well, wouldn't you if you were Frank Dukes?
Totally.
Or Jean-Claude Van Damme?
Totally.
You know, this movie sets up two relationships, two kind of love relationships. I think Frank and Janice and Frank and Jackson.
Frank and Jackson, right.
They both kind of, I think even Frank and Jackson are like more professed their love. For
yeah, I was almost going to say, I think there's more of a love story between Frank and Jackson than Frank and Janice. I think Janice and Frank are just using each other pretty much.
Yeah, good.
They're
Janice.
Friends,
they're
but I mean, they're, I don't benefits. Think. I don't think. Yeah,
Janice is trying to get the story.
Like, I don't think there's any. I don't think she's going to visit him in the USA anytime after this. You know, they give each other a little bow at the end, right. And kind of like, thanks for the fuck.
Like cultural
peace out. thanks for the. Yeah. And she's like, you're welcome.
keep going.
I'm done.
This is the part of the podcast where I declare that this movie is pretty funny.
Yeah. It's like, this is the part where you realize, okay, this movie's bad, but it's good.
I laughed.
I gotta keep going.
I was lolling,
mm-hmm.
Which means, I don't know if you know this, but it means laughing out loud. As I watched it by myself, you know, with my headphones on, and by myself, it means my wife is sleeping right beside me.
Or she's on her phone, right?
Or she's
which
on her phone.
Means well, she's tapped out. Anyway.
If I'm watching.
She's Matei'd out of the.
If we're downstairs watching a movie on the big TV, that means she's on her phone.
Right.
If we're upstairs and I'm watching on my iPad, that means she's probably sleeping. Mm. Shout outs to my wife.
Do you not have a. You always say you watch TV in your bedroom on the iPad. Do you not have a TV in your bedroom?
No, we don't.
Oh, nice.
Just iPads.
Oh, that's a good idea.
The more you know. Is that a good idea?
Yeah. Probably not, because I enjoy watching movies in my bedroom. But no. That makes sense.
Yeah?
No, it doesn't. Same thing.
So even if this movie is not intentionally funny, it is funny. And
it
sometimes
is funny.
I think it is intentionally funny. Like, there's some funny bits to it.
Mm.
I think Jackson is written for humor.
And the chase scene around the city, like, is that was supposed to be comical.
Yeah,
but,
I
mean, it was like,
and there's like some guys, like some of the bettors that are in the Kumite that are pretty funny.
Right. The guy with the golden tooth, right?
Yeah, the guy with the golden tooth and the guy who like brings
the custodian.
Yeah, that guy who steals the golden tooth. Also,
yeah,
the guy who dates Janice. Who brings
Janice.
Oh,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
In,
he's like the
pretty funny.
Pimp guy or like the.
He's like a high roller.
Yeah, high roller. That's it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Not a pimp. Yes. Not all pimps are high rollers, right?
Not all pimps are high rollers.
Yeah.
Not all high rollers are pimps.
That's what I mean.
Right.
Oh, but thank you so much for correcting that.
But so there could be like pimps who are just cheap.
Yeah.
Like
yeah, they don't dress like that. They don't have nice sunglasses like that. You touched base upwards and
I touched base upwards.
Upwards. Mm-hmm. Up. I went up.
Up. Up. Up. Up.
That Shingo originally died in the Kumite. I didn't pick up on that.
So here.
Did he die in the Kumite or did he just die?
I thought,
and his dad wanted him to fight in the Kumite, so Frank took over.
Does Tanaka want people to fight in the Kumite? Did Mr. Tanaka fight in the Kumite when he was a kid, and that's why he has a sword?
They don't give away swords in the Kumite,
yes,
do they?
Yes, they do. At the end of the movie, Dukes gets a sword.
Shut up.
Yeah, that's part of the whole ceremony at the end of the film.
Why don't you hit your microphone again? Right. Okay, no, seriously, did he get a mic? Yeah. I gotta go back. And
okay,
so they gave him a sword at the
end. So that's what I'm trying to... So, like, okay.
They were like, here, you win a sword!
Right, round 10.
Round 10. So fastest kick in the world.
So Tanaka is all about, like, training his children to pass on the legacy of his martial arts, martial science.
Yeah, yeah, because he was saying he didn't have anyone to, like, father before me, father to father, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And, but he is, his initial family...
Are you okay? You're choking up?
His initial family died in the war, I think. And then he had a new family, and he had a son, Shingo. And Shingo dies. I'm pretty sure Shingo dies in the Kumite, and that's part of the inspiration for Frank.
Maybe. I'm just saying I missed that part. I interpreted it as like Shingo just died. I don't think they told us why.
He had an
infection. He wasn't, and then that's why Tanaka was so upset, because he didn't have...
My son just died.
Because his son died.
Randomly.
And it should be the other way. Dads should die before their sons and blah, 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 blah.
But I thought he died in the Kumite. And then hence, Frank is like, let me go to the Kumite. Let me honor you. Let me do what Shingo could not do.
Yeah. But I don't know. Maybe he was an ex-Kumite winner.
But I also think, like, Tanaka doesn't really want anyone to fight the Kumite. So he gives off that vibe. He's like, this is risky. Don't do it. But if you have to... You know,
yeah, like, have you seen spirit. The tits on that one guy? Like, seriously. Don't do
is that
it.
What the Kumite is all about?
Pectoral muscles.
Anyways, I've got theories. Maybe our caller later on will be able to answer.
I like that theory, though. I didn't pick up on that.
Yeah, there you go. Like, it's a real, like, that's, because there is, like, he's coming, the black fighter, what is it, the Black Dragon Boys? And they're like, sure. You're not a Tanaka.
Right.
So
you don't look like a Tanaka.
So did he say that because they're just like assuming a Tanaka is not white? Or are they
doing they're being racist,
they
Russ.
Know the Tanaka family.
Like, no, Russ,
the Tanaka
there's
brand
deep,
is strong.
Deep, deep racist roots embedded in this movie. And, you know, just like...
Both ways. It goes both ways.
Both ways. Totally.
Sometimes racism is...
Why don't you quit, Round Eye?
Both ways. It goes both ways. Okay?
Do you like the music in this movie?
I hated the music in this movie. But again, did I hate it? Or was it just so bad it's good?
It is. It's so bad it's good.
It's so bad it's good.
It's so bad.
I could have counted more, but I counted at least 5 montages in this movie.
Right. I think this movie had the most montages.
I think it actually has more like 7 or 8, but I kind of boiled it down to more like 5.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And,
like fighting montages, training montages, prepping montages.
Yeah, there's the youth montage. There's the reflection montage. There's the original fighting montage. And then I don't know what this one is, but... I don't know if it's a sex scene or a montage.
Name that sound effect.
Is this a sex scene or a montage?
I think Bloodsport is a big homoerotic sex scene. When you think about it. That's coming from Sean's mouth?
No, he does it at the beginning. Listen.
I know. Okay, we don't need to. There's a lot of funny sounds coming from people's mouths in this movie.
Yeah, not just mine.
Not just Sean's.
Not just Sean's.
I think I'm watching this movie for the first time, and I'm laughing. I'm like, oh, this movie's funny. Oh, this movie's bad. This movie's so bad, it's good. And then the dude says, okay, USA, and my mind was blown.
Mm. It's the best one-liner ever.
Okay, USA.
Because I feel like we said that a lot as kids, and I probably never knew where that came from.
So it came from me, probably repeating it, and then you picked it up.
Is it also from a video game, too? Like, is it, like, I feel like that's permeated the culture a lot more. Like, it's maybe shown itself in other capacities.
In Street Fighter.
Right.
In Street Fighter, when you pick USA, that's probably where you got it from.
Yeah.
So you're amalgamating the OK maybe. USA with Thank the Street you. Fighter Thank you. USA.
Thank you, psychologist Sean.
OK USA.
I love that.
Yeah.
Great.
It's the best one-liner ever.
It's the best. what else you got? What do you got? You got any more? You want me to keep going?
I think we've talked about it. I'm curious why Frank is so important to the U.S. government.
Right, and why they feel they invested so much in Frank when he was trained by Mr. Tanaka.
So maybe there's more to this movie. Like, maybe he's being prepped along with, like, five or six other soldiers with, like, helmets on, and they've kind of been...
like a universal soldier.
Yeah, maybe this is... they've been programmed to become sort of, like...
elite force.
Elite soldiers, or, like, highly applicable soldiers, generalist soldiers. What's the word I'm looking for here?
This is going to be another...
Universal. Russ, my God, Rusty.
Well, I already ruined
it.
I know you did.
I know.
You wanted me to do it again?
I did want you to do it again.
I've never seen Universal Soldier, surprise, surprise.
Snorger. Well, that's because Universal Snorger doesn't exist.
It doesn't?
No. Universal Soldier does, though.
Day two of the tournament, and Janice goes undercover to watch. Frank punches a guy in the nards.
Doink!
And Chong Lee curb stomps Jackson, takes his Harley Davidson bandana.
Day two of the Kumite is sponsored by Harley Davidson. Live to ride or ride to live.
We cut to the hospital where Frank vows to defeat Chong Lee over the bed of a dying Jackson.
Oh, he's just fine.
Of a medically fragile Jackson.
He's okay. He'll be back to his old self drinking beer in a day.
Okay. But the stakes are high. Okay. This means Frank's going to probably end up fighting Chong Lee. Mm. And he kills guys. And Janice doesn't want Frank hurt.
Nobody
and the U.S.
does.
Army has invested too much into Dukes. And the sun rises on Frank doing the splits. Oh. And it's day three of the Kumite tournament.
Co-sponsored by United Airlines. United Airlines, fly the friendly skies in a bikini hammock.
The crowd is going wild, including ringside spectators Rollins, Helmer, and Janice. Oh, yeah, they're all on board.
And the pimp guy.
Chong Lee and Frank are left to fight for the title. Chong Lee blinds Frank with a crushed salt pill.
Ooh.
Frank remembers his training and serves up some tea of whoop ass. Roundhouse kick to the face over and over and over until Chong Lee says,
"My tea."
Frank is proclaimed Kumite Grand Champion, receives the ceremonial sword.
Oh, he did get a sword.
And heads back to the U.S.A.
Okay, USA.
S.A.
You know what he didn't do? What didn't Frank do during this movie?
Oh, gosh. I don't know.
He didn't quit.
Oh, my God.
Why don't you quit, Round Eye?
Even though everybody was telling him to quit.
That's right.
Frank Dukes did not
even
quit.
Shingo. And Shidoshi.
So if they made Bloodsport in 2023, I think it should be about the story of Shidoshi. Shidoshi, you screwed me up there.
The origin story of Shidoshi.
Yeah, like
yeah, fuck yeah.
I want to see Shidoshi's story.
Totally.
In the Kumite.
I want to see the sword, how he got his sword.
The Frank. Ooh, like maybe the movie actually starts with Frank or with Mr. Tanaka as a young kid getting his sword for the first time. And then you see like a young Jean-Claude Van Damme, but really he's just in the background. So it's all like Jean-Claude Van Damme's there, but he's really just a background player. And it's all about Mr. Tanaka training his son. And then Shidoshi goes to, then maybe like movie three, Shidoshi finally goes into the Kumite and dies.
Ooh.
And then that leads to Bloodsport.
Oh.
But if you were to do a new Bloodsport, a prequel to Bloodsport, would you do it cheesy? Would you keep the same cheese? Or would you try to do it straight?
I'd probably try and keep a vein of the cheesiness alive, but I would definitely upgrade the fighting scenes a bit. You know, I'm no martial arts expert.
That's correct. But what belt do you hold?
I held a green belt.
Okay. Is that second, third? What color is
it?
I
think it was the fourth. Oh, fourth good one for up. You. Anyways, that was long ways away from here, down the road, in the past, is what I'm trying to say. As I choke on the burp of my coffee here. But yeah, no, the martial arts, other than some of the slow-mo, it's not very good in this movie, I would say.
And then not directed well?
Well, it's very slow. It's very, there's no blocking going on. People are just kind of have their hands away and they're not, you know, it's not very legit, I would say.
Do you know who ran cinematic. The fight choreography in this movie?
Not Jean-Claude, did
Frank,
he?
Frank Dukes.
Frank Dukes
the
did it?
The real Frank
The real, Dukes. No wonder. It's kind of slow and lethargic.
He's like, trust me, I'm a professional.
Did you go to Kumite, motherfucker?
Did you fight for the U.S. Army?
Did you fight? Were you a special agent? I think not. I'm Frank Dukes, bitch. Whoa, don't fuck with that Frank Dukes guy, man.
Every time Sean swears, he puts a Lotion in the basket.
I put lotion in the basket.
Anything else you want before we give someone a call?
Why does everybody taste their blood? They're like, oh, I'm bleeding. And then they taste it. And they're like.
I think it's like a mind like, game. You're playing a mind game with your opponent. Like, I love my blood. Oh, make me bleed more.
Is it salty or irony or mercury? Yep, that's blood.
What is the dodgeball? No one takes. No is one makes me.
Is that blood or cum? It's blood. Yeah, cum. Good. No, I'm mad. Well, I don't know. Why are they fucking tasting it, man? You're clearly
because they should be bleeding. Tasting their own cum. What does cum got to do with it?
Well, I just mean, like, why are they tasting it? Why is there some sort of like? Why is there some sort of, you know?
I think it's just
what is that?
It's
what
just
is
like
that?
A psychological game you're playing with your opponent? You're like, oh, like because you're like
it doesn't. I'm just putting this back in my body.
Doesn't bother me.
I'm putting it back in my body.
Because visually, blood looks like, oh well, yeah, I got that best of you. But it's like, no, man, I love blood.
Oh yeah,
no one makes me bleed my own blood.
Yeah, I eat blood I eat blood for days.
I survive off my own blood. Just, like them burgers. Should we give someone a call?
Do you want to call them?
All right, we're. This is a little segment we call.
No, that's not
okay.
It.
Here we go.
I'm still getting used to where it is.
This little segment we call. So this was just like anyone can do with our JARP podcast is you can recommend a movie for us to do. So email us at jarppodcast@gmail.com and recommend a movie and send us your phone number and we'll do a podcast and we'll call you. This movie was recommended by David and we're calling David right now.
He almost said his last name.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh my gosh.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, something happened. Hey. Are you all right? Something fell.
I know. Something fell.
Hello, Dave, and welcome to Just Another Review podcast.
Hello, Sean. How are you?
Good, good. Nice to hear from you. It's been a while.
Good morning, David.
It has been. Good morning. Good morning.
Russ, take it away.
Oh, you recommended this movie.
What movie?
Bloodsport. Can you tell us about why you recommended it?
Well, being an avid listener to your podcast
yeah.
since near inception, I have to say that I felt that maybe this type of movie would provide some diversification to maybe some of the more mainstream or popular movies of recent years.
You wanted to mix it up us.
I see. I've heard.
I think so.
I heard some family members mention to Russ that his breadth of movie genres wasn't wide enough, was it? He was watching too many Howard Zenn.
Very deep.
Too many Howard Zenn
it's
type
very
movies.
Deep.
Or shallow.
Yeah. Shallow.
Yeah.
Or shallow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so I figured it would provide a little bit of diversification, like I said, an exciting change.
You also have like a personal connection with this movie.
Do you know
I
Frank
have no personal connection
you fought
with this
in
movie.
The Kumite.
Don't be modest.
The Kumite in the late 70s.
Don't be modest.
You made little rings in the backyard and used to fight your neighbor.
Yeah, no? Didn't you at least pretend you had a Kumite?
Yeah, I mean, all of those things now are coming back to me as true memories. Yes.
You also have a belt and something. What's your martial arts status?
Yeah, I remember you having a gi.
Yeah, I was in Taekwondo for several years and also Shorinji Kenpo. But not to any extent where it could
Kazun type.
Do anything.
Okay, but you know
so you never kicked the shit out of somebody is what you're saying.
I wouldn't say that.
Or you never used it to kick the shit out? Or did you? You're not supposed to.
Are your hands a lethal weapon?
No.
Not
registered, no.
Okay. But you know specific knowledge about this, about the making of this movie, don't you? Or about even the location that they used?
I mean, I found the location that they used to be pretty interesting. It's one of the few movies that was ever filmed in the Kowloon Walled City in Hong Kong. Which, you know, has since been torn down in the early 90s. But I think for a while it was the densest population in the world, like the most people living in an area per square meter.
Oh, interesting.
That'd be crazy to try.
An absolute slum.
And was it like protected, like was it managed internally as well? Like was it something that like local police could not go into?
By gangs.
Right.
Yeah, local
so
police couldn't go in.
So the Mafia was kind of, that was true.
Right, they talk about the Yakuza.
I don't know who it was, but right. Yeah. Well, they're in Japan, so they probably had nothing to do with it.
Okay. I'm totally left field.
What did you say?
I said Yakuza. What do I know?
Kazumite.
It's pretty interesting to see videos from there. There's a couple documentaries on the Kowloon Walled City as well, but they're all very, you know, filmed with handy cams and whatever else you could get in at the time, right? I mean, criminal elements there probably weren't too happy with people walking around with big cameras, but, you know, so I think just getting in there to film the way they did was probably pretty impressive.
No doubt. I imagine it wasn't easy to squeeze a crew in there, like you said, if it was such a densely populated and protected area, right?
Yeah.
Can you tell us about Frank Dukes? Do you know much about the Dukes?
A personal hero of yours, isn't it? Is he?
Yeah, I have a large Frank Dukes tattoo.
And it's more of a tramp stamp tattoo, isn't it?
Yeah. It is. Yeah.
That's the target.
I don't know too much. I know there's some history that says Frank Dukes was a real guy. I don't know if it's true or not. And yeah, I mean, you can look it up on Wikipedia and stuff, and it gives you a little bit of information that says he really did win a Kumite, not in Hong Kong, in the 70s. And a lot of this is true. And then there's people that refute that and say, you know, this guy made it all up or whatever. But, you know, at the end of the day, what I think is really interesting is the movie was probably a jumping off point for UFC.
Right.
Yeah. We just, Russ just mentioned that a while back before we called you, when we were talking about this sparking the roots for things such as UFC and then intellectual properties such as, you know, Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat video games and really kickstarted a martial arts kind of wave, would you say? Maybe it already sort of begun, so. But I guess this one kind of kept it going, kept it
did
alive.
Karate Kid,
I was going to say,
Karate
what came
Kid
first?
Come out before this?
Yeah, I would say Karate Kid did come out before this, maybe a year or two before, 86.
But this one's obviously much more serious, right? I mean, it was filmed in 86, released in 88 or something?
88, yeah. And I mean, let's look at Karate Kid and the type of karate it actually showcased. Yeah, that was cool and all that, but this was like a sort of international amalgamation of martial sciences coming together to
Karate Kid was
1984. Okay.
So there you go. But yeah, I mean, it was, I think, you know, there's the characters in that movie that, you know, going back and watching it again, oh my gosh, it's ridiculous. But, you know, Bolo Young.
Yeah.
The really jacked dude who was like 42 or 43 at the time of the filming of that movie.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's great.
Dude's like in his 70s now, late 70s.
Oh, he's still alive. He's still kicking it.
Yeah, I saw a recent picture of him in JCVD, and Bolo Young's not as big as he used to be. That's for sure. No,
he's settled down.
Yeah, he's a very...
Where does all that pectoral muscle go when you get older?
I don't know.
I'd imagine downwards.
Downward slope.
Like one of those National Geographic Ethiopian pictures.
I don't know. I guess.
Big ears.
Yeah.
Big, long, droopy ears.
Dave, do you like this movie? Do you watch it a lot?
Do you like Russ?
Having never really cared much for Russ, I will say that the movie was rather interesting for me.
What does that mean?
It doesn't mean anything. I would say that, yeah, I genuinely do like the movie, but for different reasons than I used to. I think, you know, when it first came out and I was probably a teenager watching it was like, yeah, this kicks ass. And now it's just funny.
Yes. Yeah. Now it doesn't really hold up as far as the action's concerned, but the entertainment is there still.
It's like Crocodile Dundee in a way.
Ooh. Does that hold up?
I don't know. Add it to the list.
Right? No, throw that on the pile.
I don't think Russ watches enough horror movies either.
It's
Dave.
A very shallow.
We're trying to get Russ to watch a horror movie, but it's a tough goal.
Yeah, it's again this diversity that, you know, it's a real challenge. It's been something that I've fought with my entire life. Thanks. And I'm glad it's kind of culminating in this moment now.
Your conversations at Thanksgiving must be so stale, you know?
Oh, it's just constantly referring to movies that no one really cared to watch or were just endlessly boring and, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Sure, Russ.
I appreciate that you recommend this movie because I quite liked it.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for the recommendation.
Okay, did you guys actually like it? Yeah. Or did you think it was just ridiculous?
No. But yes, both of those
same
things.
Same thing, yeah. You have to listen to hear our ratings, but yeah.
I laughed the whole freaking movie, and not like I'm bored or this is stupid. This is
fun.
Border class brilliant, whether they intended it to be or not. It's so good.
And I'm sure it was intended to be serious at the time.
Yeah, we talked about that. There's probably some intentional humor, but it's very sparse. But yeah, it's very. What is that called? Like not ironic. They meant it legitimately. Like
right.
They were.
Yeah.
I think they only thought that. What's going on there, David? You cops you okay? coming up?
Oh,
we hear sirens.
No, I'm fine. I'm okay.
I think good. Jackson was probably their only way of injecting, you know, humor, or so they thought at the time. You know what I mean? Like he was their go-to comedic relief, right?
You've also got these one-liners from these guys, like the guy at the front of the Kowloon Walled City. Okay, USA. You know, like.
I didn't
lines
that.
Like that, you're like, why would anybody say that? But it's pretty funny. The entire purpose of that guy, the entire purpose of that guy being in the movie was to do that.
Yeah.
But I mean, I could see that. Like, okay, American, whatever.
He probably practiced that line. He's like, hey, you know what? We're having the Kumite in a couple months. We need you to greet.
We're gonna have some Westerners.
We're gonna have some Westerners.
This guy from Italy.
Okay. No, you're gonna really need to practice this, buddy. Okay, I want you to go home and really, really give it your all. Really give it your all. So for 3 months,
and he couldn't look it up on YouTube.
No,
on how to practice it.
No,
it
he had to hire a phonics coach.
Was this before YouTube?
Yeah.
Are you saying that just the YouTube wasn't available in these parts of Hong Kong?
No, at this time. The internet was not born yet in 1988.
I talked to my friend Michael Jordan, and he said it was there.
Okay.
Probably, you know what, it might have been.
Mm. Yeah. All right.
Well, Dave, if you had to give this a JARP rating, you understand our rating system, what would you give it?
Do I? I don't know. Probably.
Yeah, this is a tough one because it's good, but you don't want to give it a 5.
And I think
right?
you almost have to rate it personally. Like, you can't almost like you can't rate
yeah,
it as
you know
a film.
What? I'm not going to give it a five. I'm not going to give it a 5 because that like I mean, there's no way it. You know, I'd even struggle to rank it a 4. But you know, there's just silly enjoyment in like a solid 3.5. That you don't have to. You know, you put it on and you chuckle with it while you're doing something else, and you see parts of it that were pretty good. So that's probably where I'd put it.
I think the main thing is would you recommend this movie to somebody?
I would recommend that everybody watches it once in their life.
There you go.
At least twice.
At least twice. Yeah.
At least twice. Exactly.
Okay, thanks, Dave.
Great.
See you at Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Yeah, Thanksgiving or Christmas or whenever.
Yeah.
Hopefully Russ has a little bit more to talk about this time.
Well, you know, we're all working on it, right?
Sean's going to play a sound clip to send you off. No?
No.
Great.
I'll just make sure that we say goodbye nicer, a little bit nicer than we did to Jason.
Oh,
right?
That's right. Yeah, we're going to really take our time.
We just kind of hung up on Jason.
I'm going to force you off. You go anytime you want.
Yeah, are you ready to go?
Hang up when you're... You hang up.
Oh,
you hang up.
You just hung up
once. No, you hang up. So,
oh. I was trying to keep it going. No,
no.
Ready?
I'm ready.
I thought you'd appreciate that.
I do appreciate it. This is where we rate this out of 5 JARPs: 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1 being nah, and 5 being this is the best. I give this movie. I start with a 2. Yeah. I say as compared to movies objectively, it's about a 2. But from my heart, I give this movie a 4. 4 JARPs. I laugh throughout. I'm not an expert on movies that came before this, but I know that this style has been lampooned by SNL and Lonely Island and others for the last 30 years. So like Frank, I've been trained to enjoy this kind of cliche direction, cheesy dialogue, and like the intentional, and it only makes the intentional humor, I think, with Jackson and other characters throughout the movie just really stand out. Again, I'm not a huge Jean-Claude Van Damme person, not because I choose to be, but just because I don't really have a lot of breadth of knowledge about Jean-Claude Van Damme. But man, I'm impressed with him. He does like crazy stuff, I'm impressed with the fact that like obviously his charisma, his confidence got him this movie, and he's worked behind the scenes. Like, I think this movie was shelved for 2 years, and if it wasn't for him trying to re-edit this movie and push the studios to really put this out, it would have never, maybe we've never seen it. So thank you, Jean-Claude.
Thank you.
But then also at the same time, like, his just absurd line delivery throughout the movie is just ridiculous. So you're like, I mean, obviously he can kick and jump, but can't really deliver a line. And it didn't really matter because he pushed this movie, and thank God, goodness he did. Yeah, man. I'd watch this twice. I didn't just watch it once. I watched it twice.
Oh, nice.
And I'm excited to watch it again.
Nice. I'd seen it a million times, so I did only watch it once. Oh, okay. But I was tempted. It took us a while to get this podcast out. Just life was busy and this and that. So I did almost watch it a second time.
Yeah.
But, you know, the one thing you just mentioned there about is, you know, it was all about action, not so much about the line delivery. But, I mean, that's kind of in the vein of a lot of action stars, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Sylvester. I mean, I'm not going to throw Sylvester Stallone. He's a great filmmaker. I mean, we talked about Rocky and all that. But, you know, Arnold's kind of under the same vein. You know, he's pretty to look at, but, you know, when he opens his mouth, it's just it's kind of like, oh, you know, why don't you?
Why don't you quit, Round Eye?
You know, maybe
did someone say that to Arnold?
Probably someone should have.
And you know what he didn't do?
He didn't give up. He won the Mr. Olympia. Okay. I'm going to read mine and not kind of improvise my writing like you did. This movie is so bad, it's good. There are no redeeming qualities about this movie other than the sheer ridiculousness of it. It paved the way for such intellectual properties as Street Fighter, Mortal Kombat, and kickstarted JCVD's career into making a million more ridiculous action movies that I loved as a kid. If you're in it for something moving or craft filmmaking, go look elsewhere, but if you're looking for 90 minutes of stupid fun, this is the flick for you. 4 jarps.
Well, we both gave it 4 jarps. We
did. It actually came out to 3.86.
You rounded up.
I get up.
Way to go, Round Eye. You rounded up.
You're so racist.
You're the one that keeps playing.
Everything. You're racist.
Okay, play the next musical clip.
Why don't you?
Not that one.
Oh, I thought this is what you wanted.
This is Stargazing, where we talk about stuff that we're excited about, whether it be a movie or a video game or a book or a television show. But we don't talk a lot about books. Why don't we talk more about books? I keep saying books as an example, but we never do it.
I have a book I could talk about.
Okay, what book?
I finished reading a book to my girls called The Art of Racing in the Rain, about a race car driver and his dog, and the whole story is narrated by the dog.
My mom was telling me about this exact book.
Do you want it?
Last night.
You want it?
I mean, I feel like it sounds sad.
Of course it's sad.
Okay, sure.
And then, oddly enough, I decided to start reading it to my girls about a month before my dog passed away.
Oh, my goodness.
And we were only halfway through the story, and then my dog passed away.
Oh, my goodness.
And I knew where this story was going to go. I knew. Everyone knows. So, you know what? Me and my girls kind of looked at each other and we said, no, let's finish the story.
Yeah, yeah.
As tough as it might be, subject matter, yeah, it was a wonderful, wonderful story. I cried so hard at the end.
Probably a nice way to process your dog's death.
I think so, too. There was a lot of similarities between this dog's, I guess, thought process and how I thought maybe Skagit would have thought, too. Right. So,
that's cool.
You know, it was very nice, yeah. And now I've gone on the same vein of sort of dog books, and I'm actually reading an old Farley Mowat book called The Dog Who Wouldn't Be.
Old Farley Mowat.
Old Farley Mowat, old Saskatchewan author about the days and the old days in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, and a boy and his hunting dog, and it's kind of the funny misadventures of this dog. But I'm not much of a big reader, but Farley Mowat has kind of this really detailed way of writing, and I get kind of stumbled on his words every now and then while reading it out loud for my girls. But you know what? I don't give up, Round Eye, and I keep going.
We talked about books.
You're getting
everybody.
A coin for that, Jesus.
We talked about books, everybody. You're welcome.
Yeah, hey, you're welcome. We do read.
I watched The Black Mirror. The Black Mirror.
I saw the first one. What is it?
Joan is Awful.
Joan is Awful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah,
I liked it.
It's good.
Yeah, there's some good ones. It's not a lot. I've heard. I saw some criticism online.
Oh, you can hear your kids upstairs.
My kids are getting up.
Wake
up. I saw some criticism online that it's not. So this season is not so much about how computers and technology is bad. But there's, it's kind of getting away a little bit more from technology and just talking a lot about some, I mean, Joan is awful. There's some technology aspects to it. It's, I find a lot of it's about stardom, like celebrity and, media more so this season.
Okay.
And, but there is some sci-fi definitely,
I love it. I call it like what? Like a new age kind of Twilight Zone.
Twilight Zone.
Like a kind of new version of Twilight Zone. Really mm-hmm. cool. Really, yeah. They're all self-contained. I mean, you could jump around.
And I have.
Throughout the seasons. You don't. You could piecemeal it however you want. It's really cool.
That's mainly how I watch Black Mirror is people will go, oh, have you seen the Black Mirror? And then I go watch that specific episode.
Yeah.
This is the first time I've ever watched a full season.
From again, sequential.
To, yeah.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed it. You know what I didn't enjoy?
Mm.
Secret Invasion.
Which one's that?
So this is the new Marvel movie with Samuel Jackson.
Oh, it's a show, isn't it?
It's a television show on okay. Disney Plus.
Secret Invasion.
Secret Invasion. So, you know, I don't have a lot of faith. We've talked about Marvel before.
Yeah, we've talked a lot about Marvel.
So, but you know, Secret Invasion, so far not so good. Only one episode released. Okay. I stopped watching
it. See, this is funny. Like, I have access to all this Marvel stuff, like Moon Knight and the new Marvel Girl and this Secret Invasion.
New Marvel Girl.
And
you're not
even The Mandalorian and stuff like that. And I'm just not inspired to throw it on. You know, yeah, I don't know, man.
Well, good for you.
I don't know.
I would recommend watching Mandalorian.
I know you have, and I've tried.
Maybe not the most recent Mandalorian, but like.
Well, that's just it. Now everyone seasons. That was fans of it saying season three is so freaking stupid.
It is stupid.
I'm gonna be stupid.
It is.
Stupid. I just want to give it a good old.
Okay, so if you're not watching the content made for kids on Disney Plus, what are you watching
on Disney Plus? Well, I watched all the Alien franchise, and that's so all on Disney Plus.
For adults.
Yeah, I'm watching the content for adults.
You're an adult, and you're watching adult
Always content. Sunny in Philadelphia is on Disney also Plus. Adult. Yeah. But no. So yeah, I went through the whole Alien franchise. We talked about that. I watched Bo is Afraid, the new Ari Aster.
Joaquin Phoenix?
I can't even explain this movie. It's...
good.
Three out. I don't know if I would even say it's good.
Oh, really?
I think it's a movie that only Ari Aster understands, and I doubt he fully understands it himself.
Oh, interesting. I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Is it like a recommended for rewatch? Just to like, no, you wouldn't even rewatch it.
I don't think I could get through it again for 3 hours. It's just.
That's a long movie.
It's a very long movie, and it wasn't really doing anything for me, but it was almost like, well, I'm so far into it, I might as well just keep going. Just keep swimming. Yeah.
As they say.
Yeah. And then at the end of it, I'm just left scratching my head and what. Was that 3 hours I just watched, and it's hard to process and make sense of it all. And does it even supposed to make sense? I'm not quite sure. Maybe not.
I've never seen it, so I can't comment.
Mm. But anyways, I did watch the first episode of Black Mirror. Looking forward to watching more of that.
Yep.
Workaholics.
Is your new favorite show?
Is my new favorite show on Crave.
Yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's not something I can watch with my kids around.
No, it's pretty, anything.
But me and the wife really like it.
Probably it's like it's my wife and I.
My wife and I throw on an episode of it normally every night before bed.
Okay.
Yeah. It's funny. I find it so funny.
I actually don't even know if I've ever seen a episode.
Oh.
But I know what it is. I know that it exists.
Oh. Well, please go watch an episode, at least one.
With your wife?
I don't think your wife would like that.
No, with you. Oh. Well, I could ask her.
Swippy swap. and go watch it.
Okay.
And tell me what you think.
I will.
Okay.
That's my homework. I gave you homework last time.
What was my homework?
Yeah, I think it was to watch Tar. And
I tried, man. I'm like 40 minutes into it.
All right.
It's really slow.
And then what about, I think there was Yellow Jackets and something else.
No, I got to work on that one too. Okay. Yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what it's time for?
Random movie trivia game.
You could do it in unison.
I'll let him say it. Hey, here's a stack of cards. You pick two at whatever, however you want to. This is the random movie trivia game where we take two cards. Each card's got four questions. We're going to ask four questions each. The one who gets the most wins. Sean used to win all the time, and now I win all the time.
Oh, I forgot something.
Oh, what happened?
I forgot to give a shout. We have a new JARP listener.
Oh, wow.
My cousin Chantel now listens to our podcast. We've just
increased by 50%.
Yes, we have two listeners now.
We have two listeners.
Dave and Chantel.
Chantel.
Chantel lives in Saskatoon. She assures me that there are London drugs out in Saskatoon.
Yeah, no, I know. Western Canada, yeah.
Oh,
I don't think it goes any further than Saskatoon.
No, I think the buck stops there.
Let me tell Chantel this.
Yeah. Okay, but anyway, shout out to Chantel. Thanks for being a supporter. Chantel,
thank you for listening.
She says you're really funny.
Me?
Yeah, she doesn't care about me very much.
No, this is the first person that actually prefers
your voice to mine? I highly doubt that, Russ.
Well, thank you. Well, Chantel, this is just you and I talking now. Thanks for listening.
Wait. You know what you need? You need the montage music for that. Wait, go.
Hey, Chantel. I know. Saskatoon can kind of get dry. But with JARP in your ears, your whole world's about to brighten up. Are you ready? Do you want to go first?
Sure.
Okay, you ask me first.
Okay. You ready? Oh, wait.
Here we go.
I'm not ready.
Okay, let's get ready. You don't want to know what's going on.
No, you do want to know what's going on. I'm just getting the tense music ready.
Oh, the tense music.
You need the tense music.
Who wants to be a millionaire?
Yeah. Okay. Who plays the long-nosed C.D. Bales in Roxanne?
Like, who's the actor?
Who plays the long-nosed C.D. Bales? I guess his name...
Steve Martin?
Is that your final answer?
Yeah, I don't know, man. Steve Martin.
Correct.
Of course.
Okay. Yeah.
It is a weird question. But yes, okay, I get it.
Yeah, it just says who plays. I guess they mean, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's not a weird question. Maybe I'm just weird. Okay, Sean, are you ready for your first question?
I'm not, but what let's do it.
What pastime does the dude, Lebowski, enjoy? Come on now.
What pastime?
Yeah, what pastime? What pastime? It's a fun word to say, like hobby, or what does he enjoy to do?
Bowling.
Yeah, okay. See? It's easier. Don't overthink it.
Well, I almost thought about White Russians and weed there for a second, but...
Does he smoke weed? Oh, yeah, he does.
Yeah, he's like, mind if I burn a J? He smokes one right in the guy's office.
The dude abides. That's great. I love...
You love the dude?
I love the Big Lebowski.
Where are you pointing at now?
I'm a poster. Okay. I'm pointing at my Big Lebowski poster.
Okay, finally he's pointing at something that makes sense. Okay. You ready?
Yeah.
Daniel Day-Lewis and Madeline Stowe.
Oh.
Ooh, I like this one. Daniel Day-Lewis and Madeline Stowe star in what James Fenimore Cooper adaptation? Daniel Day-Lewis and Madeline Stowe star in what James Fenimore Cooper adaptation? Daniel Day-Lewis. Madeline Stowe.
I only want to say Phantom Thread because last time I couldn't remember what that movie was called. But I'm assuming, I don't know who, Madeline Stowe. Oh, gosh. Madeline Stowe. I feel like, anyways. I want to say Phantom Thread to make it sound like I'm smart, but I'm going to say The Boxer. No, wait. Is it The Boxer? What is the movie called where he plays a boxer?
It was directed by Michael Mann. It's kind of a period piece. I thought you would have watched it. It's like right around Howard's End.
Oh, yeah, interesting. This movie
has to do with Native Americans.
This movie's called The Last of the Mohicans. Oh, shit, Madeline Stowe, of course.
It was Last of the Mohicans, Russ.
That's stupid. I should have got that.
Yeah.
Madeline Stowe, of course. I'm like, I knew Madeline Stowe. When you said her, I could imagine her. But you just weren't piecemealing it together. If I thought about it, I might have gotten there.
Let's do it.
Last of the Mohicans. What movie sees Leonardo DiCaprio fight for survival after being mauled by a bear?
Oh.
Jean-Claude Van Damme?
Bloodsport! No. The Revenant.
Yeah, that's right. I think I'm...
You're welcome.
I think you're going to do this. I think you're going
to
get
this. I hope so. It's time to redeem myself.
Yeah.
Okay, you ready?
Last
one. Number three is always the Oscar question, according to Matt.
Okay, man.
Why must Leonard tattoo notes on himself and take Polaroids in Memento?
Because he has, like, no memory. It's a memory thing. It's like...
Correct, because he can't retain new memories.
Yeah, I just pointed to my framed memento drawing.
No, I know. So it's like, duh.
We're in the movie capital of podcasting. What movie sees Anthony Hopkins play a contemplative, oh my gosh, British butler, a contemplative British butler? What movie sees Anthony Hopkins play a contemplative British butler?
A contemplative British butler?
I guess he's contemplating a lot. He's like, should I, shouldn't I? Should I get my master's tea, or should I open the drapes? Should I?
This is like the type of movie you would have seen, and I would have skipped. So this
should
doesn't...
I dust the fireplace, or should I?
Howard's End.
The Remains of the Day.
Remains of the Day.
I wouldn't have got that. Oh, so is it 2-2?
2-2.
Here we go. Okay,
is it?
Fans.
2-2.
2-2. You got two, I got two. Right?
2-2. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Fuck. Oh, there's no swear jar. There we go. There's okay. What 1975 film has the tagline?
Tagline.
You'll never go in the water again.
Oh God.
75. Oh, God. Tagline. You'll never go in the water again.
Well, just like my old friend Stevie Spielberg would say, Jaws.
Correct.
Oh, look at my fourth question. What movie has the tagline? In space. No one can hear you scream. What movie has a tagline? In space, no one can hear you scream. Sean's really... If you could see Sean's face, I could take a picture and put it on.
It's like I'm taking a shit.
It's like...
I want to say... Aliens.
Sorry, do you want to say that again?
Alien.
Yeah, that's right.
Uh-huh.
Alien.
I cheated.
Yeah, you cheated. I win again. But that was good, though. Like, you got there.
It was, and the me taking a shit face was me thinking, is it Aliens 1 or 2?
You could have said anything. You could have said Event Horizon. Okay. You could have said Star Wars. Like, there's a lot of movies. You could have said... Galaxy of the Guardians.
Okay, enough. No, them, not you.
Oh,
man.
What are you going to say?
Come on.
And obviously, I know it's Guardians of the Galaxy.
Damn it. Okay, well, it's official. I chose the cards. There's no cheating.
Yep.
There's no Russ cheating. Is That's the new crowned captain. He's my captain now.
Thank you. But obviously, Daniel Day-Lewis movies are a real blind spot for me, even though I feel like I've seen everything.
You're the captain now.
I'm the captain now. I don't think I've ever seen... 9, but I feel like I've seen all the, and obviously Phantom Thread. Oh, okay, I haven't seen many.
Haven't seen 9?
Isn't he in a movie named called 9? Am I making that up, Daniel Lewis?
I don't know. 9?
9!
Who's racist now?
I'm German, so I can do a German accent. It's not, haven't you ever seen the Auntie Donna one where, the sketch where one of the guys is Italian? And so he does like this Italian accent one. Anyways, Auntie Donna, if you've never seen it on Netflix, go watch that brilliant piece of sketch.
They are great, aren't they?
Are you ready to do an ending?
End it.
No.
What?
Read the ending.
Well, that happens like after. It's like the Easter egg.
Here we go.
I like this and you like that. It's just another review podcast. We pick a show, sit down and chat. Now listen to the start of our show, because it's now.
Anytime, any play, anywhere. If you ever need me, JCVD Dizzle, I'll be there.
I love you, my friend.
Me too.
Why don't you quit, Round Eye?